Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Brother Robbins, and this is Open Forum, a Bible study program where you may call in and get Bible answers to all your Bible questions. This program is broadcast every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30, and we invite you to tune in to all your Bible questions and your comments.
Amen.
We have a panel of ministry guests to answer your questions. We have Brother Lewis Parker Jr., we got Brother Lewis Parker IV, we got Brother William, and we got Brother Johnson on the air with us, and Brother Brown serves as our moderator. This program is sponsored by the Church of Christ in Darren Luke, where Brother Lewis Parker IV is local minister, in association with the Church of Christ in Brookshire, where I serve as local minister myself. At this time, we're going to pause for prayer, and we'll have Brother Parker with our prayer for us. Brother Parker.
Amen. Yes. Father God, we come humbly bowed before that throne of grace, thanking you, kind Father, for another wonderful day that you have granted unto us. Knowing that we must stand for you, we must preach the gospel, live the gospel, set the example for the members to follow through. Bless each one of us, our families, our homes, and our loved ones, and let love abide as a mighty stream. Continue, Father, to help us and bless us with this program that we might reach souls and save them. Brother Robin has already been reaching out, saving souls, even like today. He went and he got a family coming over to visit with him Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for this gospel, and let us keep preaching it, teaching it, living it, and winning souls for salvation. This prayer we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Open Forum, and we invite you to tune in to questions and comments. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. Please call us. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. We have a prepared topic, and we love to discuss it with our audience. We ask questions on the air, but it's mainly for the audience. We know what the panel has to say, but we want our audience for some feedback. So the pastors out there who have the courage to call us and talk with, we love to talk to you, and we speak the truth in love. We're not trying to undermine anybody's program. We're not trying to belittle anyone. We're not trying to minimize one's sense of beliefs. We only want to discuss what the Bible says. I remember a similar program. I was on the radio for a long time, but then somebody else had got a program similar to ours and made theirs a call-in program. So I called in with questions because that was their program, and they tried to give the impression on the air that I was trying to undermine their program because I called with questions they couldn't answer. But let me tell you this. If you're going to open yourself up for questions, you had better be ready with the answer.
Amen.
If you're going to do that, if you're going to take that type of initiative to open yourself up for questions, you better have your lesson so you can give the answer and the correct answer. Other than that, don't ask anybody to call in. So we invite questions because let me tell you something. Truth has nothing to fear.
That's right.
By itself. So we're asking you, call and let's discuss these things. But we'll tell you this. We're not at liberty to give you our opinions. We'll only give you what the Bible says. We dealt with a topic on last week. We're going to deal with it this evening, tonight. We're talking about this gay thing, about gays and lesbians. So many folk want to adopt it or accept it. We're saying this. I am not running for public office. I'm not looking for the gay vote or the lesbian vote or anything like that. I'm not running. As a matter of fact, I know it's bad grammar. I'm not running for nothing.
Amen.
So I'm not neutral on this. I will tell you, I don't care how many states adopt it. I don't care how many folks accept it. The Holy Scriptures condemns it. The Bible condemns it. This is why many people like Ellen DeGeneres and other folks don't want to discuss the Bible, because they know the Bible condemns it. They know it.
Yeah.
They write the Bible off as if the Bible not true, so I keep on being gay. Whether you like it or not, you can cuss, you can fuss, you can swell up and bust. When the book is finished, the Bible still condemns it. The Bible
condemns Amen.
It. Now, that's just how it is. Now, I don't care how mad you might get. Whenever you cool off, the Bible still condemns it. So we want to discuss this evening. I think Brother Parker has an insight for us. Brother Parker, please.
Yes. We need to deal with that issue and other issues. Something happened to me this evening on my way home. I stopped at a store, and there was a young man there that knew me, and he walked up to me and tried to kiss me in my mouth. Really, man, I looked, I said, you need to get out of my face now because you're going to mess around and get hurt. I was wrong, and I asked God to forgive me, but I was wrong. But I had to protect myself. I don't want no men walking up, they're going to kiss me in my mouth. Wait, that's cold-blooded. I think that what we need to do, if there are any questions out there, We want to ask our audience, is it right to be gay and deal with same-sex marriages and everything? Is that right? Do you think it's right? If you think it's right or wrong, give us a call in and explain that and deal with that. Because, Ron, do we have any callers online? Brother Brown,
I'll let y'all know when we have calls.
You said it over there. If you have a call, just press button one and you can come in and speak about it or ask questions. Button number one on your phone.
Well, I have an observation I want to share with you. If you were to ask the average person, would it be okay for a man to have sex with an animal? I don't think you would find too many folk who would go along with that. Most people would condemn it. Even the gays and lesbians, if you ask them about a man having sex with an animal, they would condemn it straight up. They would condemn it outright, condemn it. But wait a minute. The same Bible that condemns a man, let's read it. In Leviticus, the 19th chapter.
Leviticus 19, yes, sir.
And verse 23, the Bible says, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Now, if you'll accept that on faith, dare you. Look at the verse that precedes it, the verse just before that one.
Yeah, 18.
Says, thou shalt not lie with mankind
as
with womankind. It is an abomination. So the same Bible that condemns the one condemns the other. So you can't go through and pick and choose what you want and what you don't want. The Bible condemns all of it. So the same ladies who were standing against a man having sex with an animal, but then they won't turn around and have sex with another man, the Bible condemns both. It's not like Burger King. You can have it your way. You know, no. You must. The Bible is like this: either all of it or none of it. That's how it is. And most of them want to condemn the whole Bible because they want to be gay. I don't care how many people read on it. The Bible condemns it. And while we're going that way, when we stand before God in the last day, there will not be a copy of the United States Constitution.
No,
we'll be judged by the Bible.
Amen.
The number to call is 1-347-850-8255. Call us 1-347-850-8256. Brother Parker.
Yes, that was once a man who had retired from the service, and he was a member of the Church of Christ. He and his wife and his family. And he told me one time, he said, his sergeant that was over him, his wife was sleeping with the dog at home. They had a big German Shepherd or something like that, sleeping with him. He said, and what happened was the dog was screwing her with his object, you know, into her object. And, you know, a dog's object swells. That's how he and the female dog get back butt to butt, get stuck together for a while. he it swelled in her, and they had to call an ambulance to take her to the hospital to get the dog released from her. Wait, we just see that, and that dog and animal stuff, it still may be very active in America, women with dogs. That when I was going to college, most of the white girls had dogs, and they gave them, the right to bring the dog into their dormitory. No boys could go in there at all, but they slept with dogs and everything then. This has been going on for a long time. And that kind of foolishness creates all kinds of kids. If they're sleeping with dogs, they'll sleep with another woman and buy instruments to sleep with them and everything. And marry them now. He's the president we got in here now. He's for same-sex marriage. And he's a man with a wife who has two daughters. Of age now. And he's up here telling it's all right. Well, why don't his daughters get them some women? Why don't his wife leave him and get her a woman? And why don't he get him a man? Brother Robert.
Yes. Brother Brown, do we have any questions on the line? No questions? Brother Williams, come forward.
Brethren, what we're talking about is the Bible. We, it's all kind of stuff going on. And it's a shame before God. But we got to stay with the Bible. And you know what? We can't have no fear to tell these people they're wrong. See, I don't have no problem with it. I got the Bible. I know the truth. And I tell them the truth. And they have to obey the truth or they got to answer to God. I tell folks right away, you don't have to answer to Brother Williams. You have to answer to Jesus Christ. Brother Robbins is right. When the day of judgment comes, we're not going to have no United States Constitution. We're going to have the Word of God to judge us. And if your life is not in line with the Word of God, your soul will go to hell. And everybody in America and everybody in the world, everybody in Europe, that same-sex marriage thing is real popular and is real acceptable in Europe. Just like pornography and whoredom and stuff. I mean, it's more acceptable as society. What they do is they legalize prostitution, and the prostitutes are required to go and get shots and get medical checkups and all that. And the government makes that possible, and they do that. They say to keep the population safe. So what they do over there in Europe. Whatever they do, it doesn't make it right because it's lawful. Because man's law does not always agree with God's law.
Amen.
We got same-sex marriage. That's not in agreement with God's law. That's man's law of marriage. But God instituted marriage. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19, around verse 9, he says he created, around verse 4, he said he created a male and female in the beginning. And he says, that's what God intended, that a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they become one flesh. He didn't intend for Steve and Steve. He intended Adam and Eve. And that's the way God made it. Men are trying to get to have their way. Men are trying to push forward. See, it's politically correct, Brother Robbins, for us to go along with homosexuality, lesbianism, and all that stuff. Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church, the Catholic Church, all these churches, they are grappling and battling with the idea of gay priests. They're battling with the idea of lesbian priests. They were fighting about women priests. Now they went all the way to gay and lesbian now. And the Catholic Church has been fighting the concept of a homosexual priest for centuries. And what we're trying to do as men is we're trying to use wisdom that we think is better than God's wisdom. But man's wisdom will never supplant God's wisdom. God's foolishness is greater than man's wisdom. But that's what people are trying to do, and we're not going to stand for it. We're going to preach against it. I'm going to teach against it. I see folk like that in life, and most of them get to know my reputation through others. And when they see me, they avoid me. And I think that's the best thing for them to do. Just avoid me, because if you're going to get in my face, I'm going to tell you about yourself. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. See, Brother William ain't got to give you his opinion. I tell you just what Jesus said. And then if you don't want to deal with that, get behind me, Satan. See, brother, as ministers of Christ and as teachers, and those who are the teachers of God's word, we must inform the church. We got to teach the people. We got to teach the church, because you know what? Those type of folk are trying to come in and be a part of the Lord's church. People want to come in, they shacking up. They living in fornicating lives. They living in beds of whoredom, but they want to come into the church, and then they want to go home and keep on doing what they're doing. And we act like we're so desperate to baptize somebody that we go along with that. We need to teach people. We don't want to baptize the gay person. We don't want to baptize the lesbian person. But what about the common law man? We need to teach him too. Man, you need to obey God's law of marriage, not man's law of marriage, because man's law of marriage is only made to meet the burden of financial responsibility. That's the only reason they came over to the common law, to get the financial responsibility. You got too many fathers, men fathering children through single women, and then the government and the welfare system taking care of them, and the fella going on by his way, happy-go-lucky, and all that kind of foolishness. That was why that was brought in, to try and put a curb on that. Men trying to legislate morality. But if people don't want to do what's right, they ain't going to do it no way. You still got the same problem.
Amen.
You got the same problem. And now you get these fellas all caught up in the child support. Now you got to put them in jail and feed them three squares, give them three hots in a cot. Because they ain't working, they won't work, and they won't pay child support. And you still taking care of the woman and the children. So we got to teach people the truth, and we got to help members of the Lord's church to understand that we cannot coddle, we cannot give aid and comfort, we cannot give approval to these lifestyles that are totally against what God has taught. Brother Paulson?
Yes. You're absolutely right. We got to get up on top of this now and let it be known. Men with men, women with women. That's not in the Bible. We've got to let them know. What can two men do? God made the woman for Adam in the garden. He said there was nothing out there in that garden that could be with Adam. So what he did, he went to the dust of the earth, took a rib from Adam, and he created the man, the woman, for the man. Now, we're telling God he is a lie. A man can have a man, and a woman can have a woman, and call it marriage, and call it a relationship. That is a hell of a relationship. I just want to know if you're gay or if you're a lesbian, what in hell do you want? There's something in there that you want that's not there. All that's in hell is some fire to burn you eternally.
Mm.
A man can't make a woman a baby. A woman and a woman cannot make a baby. God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful, multiply the earth, replenish it, and subdue it. And that goes for us today, to be fruitful,
Amen.
Multiply the earth, replenish it, and subdue it. That's what we're here for. Not for men to be sticking their thing into another man's hole in rectum. All you're doing is creating some more. Do you? That's all you're doing.
It's confusion.
And a woman buying a so-called man's thing from a shop and spit it into a woman's booty. Just creating more doo-doo. You can't get no baby out of no rectum. A baby does not come on this earth from anybody's rectum. God created the system of impregnation and reproduction, which the woman has the hole for reproduction. Man does not. Two women cannot reproduce, work living together. Two men cannot reproduce. We've got to get this thing right and let these folk know that they're going to total hell. America is falling now. Our Supreme Court has done as Nebuchadnezzar did and other people in the Old Testament. Made laws or images that were against God. Isaiah 1:19. For it is the leaders of this people that do call them to error. And they that are led of them are destroyed. America will be destroyed. But God's people has always been preserved. God makes a way for his people, the true believers. Now is the time for us members of the body of Christ to embrace Christ as close as we can, consistently as we can, to live a good life in the midst of this hell that's coming upon America now. If you don't believe it, turn to Romans chapter 1 and you'll read. Paul told us exactly how it's happening. And in the latter part of his chapter, he told us that all the other sins are on earth. After we bring this homosexuality mess in here, all the other sins, he named them, are going to become worse. And you look at the television early in the morning, look at the news, and see all the freaky kind of things that's happening that's killing people. You might hear where a boy and shot up his mom and dad and whole family. You find all kind of freaky stuff. Some guy living with a girl and married her and the baby and everything else. All of that is getting more and more wicked right now. And we need to know that. Brother Robbins or Brother Johnson.
Yes.
What's up, Brother Robbins?
Thank you, Brother Parker. See, when you take God out of a thing, all it does is go down. Have you ever read the story of Jonah when God told him to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, but he chose to go to some other place from the presence of the Lord? From the rest of that chapter, all you read about is Jonah going down. He went down to Tarshish. They were going down on the ship, going to Tarshish. He went down to the bottom of the ship to sleep. You know, every time he turned from God, he went down. The mariners picked him up and threw him down into the midst of the sea. He got swallowed by a great fish, and he went down even deeper into the whale's belly. Every time he turned from God, he went down. That great fish spit Jonah out on the dry land. The distance to Nineveh at that time, walking, was a 3-day journey. Jonah had no planes, trains, or automobiles, but he made a 3-day journey in 1 day. Man, he was amen. Now let me tell you something. The reason why we go to the Bible, because that's our standard. The Bible says this. In Isaiah 62 and verse 10, the Bible says this, go through the gate, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up or build up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people, lift up a standard for the people. The Bible is our standard. Now,
amen.
I was talking to a lady today who was unaware of the fact that all these denominational churches have a manual they go by, and it's not the Bible. They have their own, and I shared those things with her, and she was shocked, and her question to me was, if we have the Bible, why do they need all those things? I said, that's my very question. You don't need a Baptist manual or a Methodist discipline book or a Catholic catechism book or all these other man-made creeds. The Bible is good enough. But see, this the point about that is they don't give those books to the members. They only give them to the preachers by way of control, to keep those people under control. That's why whatever the pastor says, that's what goes. Because he'll say, I pastor this flock. And a pastor is not a preacher anyway. According to the Bible, a pastor is not a preacher. A pastor is an elder, and you can't have just one. there has to be a plurality of them, two or more. But they're not going to tell you that because they're trying to keep you in the dark. But getting back to the main point, our standard, the Bible condemns it. The Bible condemns a man being effeminate. Effeminate means the man, a man with the weight of a woman. The Bible condemns it.
That's right.
And vice versa. The Bible condemns it. And I don't care how many folks accept it. The Bible condemns it. We're not going to be judged by the United States Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the amendments. We're not going to be judged by that. You're going to be judged by what the Bible says. That's our standard.
Yes.
That's just how it is. Whether men accept it or not. And some people say, well, I don't believe that. You think your unbelief nullifies the word of God? You'll find that in Romans 3 and verse 3. But the Paul says, and what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Ye let God be true, and every man a liar.
Every man a liar.
Right. Whether you believe it or not. It's not going to nullify the word of God because you don't believe it. The Bible is still right. I've heard Muslims say, well, I would never confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. You don't have to, but you will.
Yes.
He's going to force you. And then,
every knee,
every
knee
shall bow, and every
tongue
shall confess. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
You, like
you will.
So you may as well submit. You may as well humble yourself before God and obey the gospel because there is no other way out. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256.
Luke Parker IV, go ahead. Yes, sir. Yeah, we just appreciate the men serving on the air for just preaching the word in its true and sincere form. You know, I believe as preachers of God, that's exactly what we should be doing today, is sticking with the word of God. And that's the difference between a true man of God and a false teacher. See, a true man of God stick with the word of God, and he doesn't preach his opinion or what he thinks. He preaches what thus says the Lord, you know. Now with that being said, we live in a time today when everybody might not agree with the word of God.
Certainly not.
Does that mean we stop preaching it? Absolutely not. Just because somebody may not agree with God's word don't mean that we change it. Don't mean we stop preaching it. I heard a talk show host ask one time, and this is a question that I'd like to put on the floor if I can. We live in a changing society. We live in a society where things are constantly evolving, and we hear our politicians referring to progression. You know, and this word progressive, it's always interesting to me because it appears that the further away from God we get and the further away from morality we get, some people call that progressive. But that is not progressive.
Yeah.
That's regressive.
Yeah, it's transgression.
Yeah, absolutely. Seeing that we live in an ever-changing society where the Constitution, the interpretation of the Constitution may change over time. Laws might change over time. The government may change definitions of certain institutions over time. My question is, should the Bible change to keep up with the time? Should the Bible change to keep up with the time? What do we think about that?
That's a wonderful
Isaiah. Question. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades. In other words, this world will change. That's the will of God. It's growing old. It's waxing old. But the word of our God shall stand forever. God's word is not going to ever change. Jesus said, before one jot or tittle of God's word change, heaven and earth won't exist.
Also, in the same context, in Hebrews 13:8, the Bible reads, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. See, so the God's Word does not change. I don't care how many trends may come or go, and how many so-called pastors condone that. I talked to a guy who said, well, you know, T.D. Jakes say one thing, and Tony Evans say another thing, and George, I don't care what they say. What does the scripture say? I don't care what T.D. Jakes say, or Creflo Dollar say, or George Myers. I don't care what they say. What does the Bible say? Amen.
Yes,
the number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Parker.
Yes, and we look again in Romans chapter 1 and verse 19 in answering that question, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Verse 20,
right.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Man is without excuse here. God already said it so that man wouldn't have no excuses that they could fall back upon. We have no excuses for these dirty men that want to be with other men and dirty women that want to be women with other women. But the sad thing is this. The sad, a woman is a woman is a woman. She was created to be stuck. I'll just use the TV. To have sex, to have be stuck. So when she and another woman get together and start sticking each other anywhere they want to, in the mouth, in the rectum, in her private part, and everywhere else, they can do that all day and all night. And they will be a woman that can leave each other and go with a man and create babies. But when a man start having sex with another man in their rectum, and in their mouth, and whatever else they do, when he gets right, he can never get back to be a man. There is a nerve beside the prostate gland that if it's touched right by sticking somebody in their rectum, if it's touched, it will excuse all of that stuff that's in it, that's in that nerve. And it will never come back. And then you see him acting like he's a woman. He changes all the way. Why do you think that when God, he went, sent the two angels, male angels, men angels, God sent them to Sodom and Gomorrah to go and free Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah. When those two male angels walked into Sodom and Gomorrah, all of the old gay men and all of the young gay men came to Lot's house to race those angels. That's a low-down, dirty shame. All of the old men. See, that homosexual thing is a dangerous thing. Here in America, as it stay here, and if it stay here, it's going to get bad. Us straight men going to have to do something to protect ourselves because they will rape one another. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, the women going to be women. They can live with each other, but they still going to be a woman. There's an old saying we say, a woman is a woman is a woman, because she can go and live like that and be stuck anywhere she wants to be stuck and still is 100% woman. But a man cannot be sticking people in their rumps. When he gets stuck himself, if he gets stuck deep enough, he touches that nerve that's next to the prostate gland and it spews out the seed of the fluid that was in it. And then he starts acting, having that effeminacy. And he's scared after other men. He turns, his whole mind turns against being a man. And then he can get with another man, they just love each other and screw each other like they want to, anywhere, in the mouth, in the rectum, anywhere. You see, that's a wicked thing. And we as Christians are going to have to teach against it and preach against it and let these boys in our congregations and other congregations, let them know they got to be a man. Let the girl know that she got to be a woman. Like God created us. Because it's a terrible, terrible thing. It's a nasty, low down sin. You can't get no lower than being gay or a lesbian. You can't get lower than being that.
It's abomination.
Yes, sir. 1-0.
I want to say
hello?
This. I'm still here, Brother Parker. I want to say this in that context. What these gays are trying to do, they're trying to outsmart God. Because they know that two men can't reproduce anything. Neither can two women. So what they'll do, they'll go and adopt some children. See?
Yep.
Amen.
And teach them that very same thing. See? So that's their way of being. Around God's law. That's where you're getting around it. They'll go and adopt it, knowing that two men can't create nothing but a mess. And two women the same thing. What they'll do, they'll adopt some children. Or get a man's sperm and go by artificial insemination.
That's right.
Do all
the women
will
get artificial insemination and have a baby. Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. And that's their way of getting around God's law. But let me tell you something. You got to face him in the judgment. You can't get around God's law. You still got to face him in the judgment.
No, sir.
Amen.
You're going to face him.
It's going to face you in the judgment.
And I don't care how folk get offended by it. I'm telling you the truth, and I love everybody. I don't hate the gays. I don't hate anybody. I hate sin.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate anybody. I love everybody.
Man.
But I must, just because I have love for you, don't mean I'm going to condone your wrongdoing. I condemn bank robbers too. Bank robbers, they wrong too. Guys who go around and sell illegal drugs, they're wrong too. I'm against anything that's wrong. So it's not just
me.
Anything that's wrong, I'm against it. But the point is, we're gonna all in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we're gonna all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of those things done in our body, whether good or bad. You may well face it.
Amen.
You're gonna face it. The very Lord you claim is your Lord, you're gonna face him one day. He'll be the judge then. And you're gonna be in serious trouble. Brother William,
I need to listen in right now, brother. I'm actually outside. I'm busy. I'm trying to get back to the house. Yeah, I don't want to have a lot of noise.
There's something else, Brother Robert.
Any questions?
Go ahead.
Yes, Brother Parker, any questions coming up? Press button
number
one.
Go ahead, Brother Parker. I'll just ask you any questions. That's all.
Right. Well, here you talk, my doc. You hit some stuff there, Horace, that I think I had hit some time back again. What we'll see, if these gays, if two women together, two men together, they don't have to adopt only because that might get stopped. But what will happen is that the man that's a man with the man, if he's a man, he will go, if they get to know two couples that are gay, he will go and get with the woman that's supposed to be the woman with the gay, get her pregnant. And they'll have babies like that. They'll have babies. The women will have babies, and the men will have babies. They can still procreate together with each other like that and have those children and raise those children up, the ones that they adopt and the ones that they create by switching partners to get them pregnant. They will have those babies, too, that they'll raise up as gays. And you will see gays everywhere. Lesbians everywhere. And that's one thing that has been talked about. How the man that's a man with the other man that's married gets with a woman that's a woman with the other woman that's married and procreate and make babies like that. And then they can take one and the other can take one and they can do like that. They can multiply and they can adopt and multiply. Do all of that. And you'll see America going to hell in a handbasket. Brother Parker, the fourth, you waiting?
Yes, sir.
Hey, brethren.
Yeah.
Hey, brethren.
Yes.
I was listening to all y'all, what y'all saying, and it's true. But from Brother Robbins all the way to Brother Parker the fourth, what I'm saying, what I'm listening at, we know that God didn't create nothing like that. Man tried to shift that stuff on God, say, oh, God created everything. He didn't create sin like that, and he didn't create sin.
Amen.
That sin came from the devil, and we are following what Satan said and trying to shift it over on God. Well, God made this. Like, for an example, God made drinks, and God made this and that. God didn't make all of that mess. Men copied up that stuff. Men are wrong in what they're doing. See, God made two people. He made a woman and a man, or male and
female.
He did not make man with a man. You won't read that nowhere in the Bible. You can start with Genesis, the first chapter, verses 26 to 28. He said, let us make man in our image, male and female. Now, brethren, we know the difference between a male and a female. We got any common sense.
Amen.
What we're trying to do, as my brother Robinson said, we're trying to be smarter than God, outthink God. It ain't a man on this earth.
Yes.
I don't give a care how much college degrees he got, how much sense he think he got. He ain't got enough sense for God. God made him from the dust of the ground. He put man to sleep and did surgery on him and took a rib out of his side. Not out of his head, not out of his leg, but out of his side. And he made a female. And he brought her to the man. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25.
Yeah.
And God married them two people together.
Amen.
And Adam didn't have no choice, and Eve didn't either. And let me tell you something. When you get married to your wife, you have no choice either. You either stay with her or get away from her. You got to stay with that until death separates you.
Yes.
As Brother Keeble said one time, you should have been more careful before you married her. But that still don't give you no right to come up talking about, I was born gay and I was born this and I was born that. That's a lie. Man just sinful. Just like Genesis 6 and verse 5 said, man's heart is continuously evil. Man don't care. He chooses. Man is choosing to go to hell. God gave him a book of instruction, like Brother Parker said. But he's choosing to go to hell. So if he wants to go to hell, let him go to hell. Hell has got plenty of room for him. Because if they don't want to hear what the word said, and you preaching the truth, and they still arguing and acting crazy, well, I'm going to be what I want to be, let him go to hell. You can't stop a man for where he want to go. You just preach God's word. Keep preaching the Bible, no matter how man feel. Man will tell you anything. I was born this way. I heard this morning a man say, I was born this way. No, he wasn't.
Well,
he was born gay. He was born a baby. Huh?
Amen.
I was born this way. No, you wasn't. Just like some people saying, I was born a Baptist, I died Baptist. No, you wasn't. You were born a baby.
Amen.
You was taught to be a Baptist or a Catholic or a Jehovah's Witness. We were all born babies. Huh?
Amen.
Born that foolishness. See, man trying to be smart, and he's ignorant. He's ignorant because he's ignoring what God has said.
Amen.
But you know what? He will, all of this stuff that he's doing will face him in the judgment, the final judgment. When God called him that account and his name ain't recorded in the Lamb Book of Life, he will go direct to hell. No doubt about it. We have to be in Christ to be saved.
Amen.
If we don't, we're going to hell. Simple as ABC. There's no excuse for this.
Man.
Homosexual is wrong. I don't care what our politicians say. I don't care what the president say. It's wrong in the eyes of God, and God condemns it.
Amen.
Romans, the first chapter, verses 18 through 32, he condemns it. First
Amen.
Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, it's still condemned. It is a sin, and it ain't no mistake.
Amen.
Huh? Ain't no mistake. God didn't
Amen.
Make no mistake.
Yeah.
Man trying to say, oh, God made a mistake now. No, he didn't. Man just don't want to do what God telling. God said, don't do
Amen.
This. He mean don't do it. But I'll do
That's
what
right.
I want to do. Well, keep on doing what you want to do. You might be in the driver's seat now, but later on down the road, you'll find out you was wrong, and then you're going to lose your eternal soul and go
Amen.
To hell. We got to get right.
Amen.
The Bible is still right. No matter how much we argue, fuss, and fight, God's word will stand for eternity. It will not
yeah.
fail. We can depend on it. We can rely on it. And we know it is safety. All you got to do is what God says. Quit arguing with God.
Man.
You know, that's our biggest problem. I can't see that. He didn't tell you to see
well,
anything. He told you what to do. He said, do what
man.
I tell you. But we don't want to do what God says. But a preacher come along, the preacher right. Oh, no, he's not right if he ain't preaching God's word.
Well.
Huh?
Man.
You got to go back to the book. Like they did in Nehemiah days, the 8th chapter beginning at verse 1 through 8. They went back to the book. See,
man
they got too far from the book. And God not going to tolerate it.
Yes.
And that book, when he opened it on at the judgment, Lord, have mercy. Now,
yes.
brethren, we better say have mercy now, because we don't know when God's going to come back. All of this stuff we seeing, that's just the beginning of sorrow. But
yes.
all the end ain't got here yet. When he get here, brother, Lord, have mercy. I pray and hope that I see y'all faces when Jesus come back to deliver the kingdom back to the Father in 1 Corinthians 15 and 24. He ain't going to deliver it back to him. I pray that we all be in that kingdom that be preaching the word of God. Because the world
yeah.
is lost. Look at your politicians. Look at your people in the world. Look at your drug addicts, your alcoholics, your homosexuals.
Yeah.
God condemns it. We try to say, oh, that's all right. He all right. You all right. No, you ain't. You lost. You lost in sin, and it ain't no mistake. It's just
Amen.
Plain ordinary sin. And God done told us what to do to get rid of it. Peter told those folks on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is a promise unto you and to your children, which are far off, as many as the Lord God shall call. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. How did they do that? The next verse tell you. Then they gladly, not madly, but gladly received this word
yes.
and were baptized, and added unto them about 3,000 souls. And the Lord adds you to the church. You do not join the Church of Christ.
Amen.
The world is sick, and no physical doctor can help them. You got to go to Dr. Jesus.
Yeah.
In Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 9 and 10, Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. Lost in what, Lord? Lost in sin. Brother Robin, they lost in sin. That's why they're doing all this old foolishness, and then they're trying to bring it into the church. We
yeah.
have to preach it like it's written in the book, regardless of how they feel. I don't worry about how a man feel. I'm concerned about his soul. If his soul ain't
man.
Right, he ain't right. God done told us what to do. He done told
All
us,
right.
gospel preacher, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that don't do what God say, he going to hell. Plain
Man,
and simple.
Parker.
God, they're going to change that.
Brother Parker 4.
Yes,
go
sir.
Ahead.
Yeah. We got any questions, Brother Brown? Any questions? Anyone coming in? Any questions? All right. If no questions, then I'll pose one to the floor. And you know, and let me say this up front. You know, I think it's important for people, listeners, to know, and also ministers to know, that before we go categorizing and making a hierarchy out of sin, you know, there's no sin worse than the next. God goes against every sin. You know, whether it's a lie to murder, God don't like any sin. He's too holy. He's too perfect for that. You know, but the condition of the world is due to a disbelief in God and a rejection of God. You know, and that's the beginning of all evil. All the stuff that's going on under the sun, that's where it begins at, because men does not want to retain God in their knowledge. See, you know, so it should be no surprise to us that men goes further and further away from God. But let me ask this to the panel. What is the church's role in the world today if we're going to show the people the love of God and to try to evangelize for the kingdom of God? How are we to do that? Because clearly the way that we've been doing it is not working. You know, the way that we're, you know, preaching, you know, what you should do this, you know, the you know, looking at the Bible as if it was some kind of rule book and saying you're gonna do this, or God said you better do this, or you're going to hell, and all that kind of stuff. We see some history that kind of stuff really ain't, you know. So I'll see if I could answer the question, then I'll put it to the panel. I believe the church role, first and foremost, is to evangelize. That's our mission as the people of God, is to evangelize. And one way we do that is show people the love of God and the grace. In other words, let people know that no matter how evil your deeds are, if you decide to give your life to God, you could be forgiven and saved by his grace. You know, but now if we're going out teaching legalism and we get to the point of the way that we're handling it, it's kind of like we're promulgating hatred and stuff like that. That's not going to work. So my question to the panel, the church's role in the world, to a lost world, how are we to evangelize? What is our role?
The first thing we should do is do what Jesus said. You preach the gospel. Now, the problem comes in is that, see, we don't live in the same world the apostles lived in. The apostles didn't have to identify the church, because there was no other in existence. We live in a denominational world. So over the years, the people can't identify the church, because if you want to identify a criminal, they would go and get all that applied to him. What would he look like? If he got any birthmarks, if he got any scars, there are marks of identification. The same thing applies to the church. But see, we don't live in the time the apostles did. They didn't have to deal with denominationalism. They had to deal with
Amen.
God. Now, the point is this. Actually, it don't matter how we preach it. The world going to take it either way. If we get on air and all we talk was love, 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 and our lifestyles were the same way, we lived a life of love, somebody would still harden their heart. They would see Jesus Christ, our Lord, when he was here, all he talked about mostly was love, and yet they hardened themselves. So even though I may change my approach and say, I'm not like those pioneer preachers. I preach the same message, but I'm going to show you more love than everybody. They'll have a problem with that. They'll have a problem with that, because if people have their mind made up and you're trying to convince them, see, we're trying to tell people about a Jesus whom they think they already have. If I tell him about Jesus, and he said, well, I already got Jesus, so how do I tell him? Well, actually, you don't have him, because you're not going by what Jesus said. How about, I love you with all my heart, but still, you can't make people, no matter what their mindset is, you can't make them. All you can do is tell them, whether I come with a hard approach or if I even try to soften it and water it down. The people's mind is already set in a certain way of thinking. So I can't change their way of thinking as far as where they already are. But I can preach the message and tell them I can teach you. Like John talked more about love, the Apostle John. He talked more about love than anybody in the whole Bible.
Amen.
But even
Amen.
He one time got to, even in ninth chapter of Luke, even he got so mad he wanted to send fire out of heaven and burn the folk up because they rejected what Jesus our Lord taught, because they were telling about Jesus and they rejected him. And John, who talked more about love than anybody in the whole Bible, he got so mad he wanted to burn from heaven. But Jesus our Lord told him, you have the wrong spirit. I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I come to save them. So it's the very same thing. We're not trying to condemn the world. We're trying to save it. Now, everybody have their own servability, yes.
Man.
But even if I turn around, I remember on the radio one time, I got criticized for the same thing. So we got on the program one time, and we talked love, 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 love. The whole program, we still kept saying, talking about love. And they still criticized us. So,
amen.
You know, so the message, not the method may change as far as the method, but the message does not. The gospel is still the gospel. It's still the same thing. It always has. The method may change as far as different trends in society, but that don't mean compromise. It may maybe take another approach at it or another angle at it. You may try that, but the message, for the most part, is still the same.
Amen.
The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, according to the scriptures. That's not going to change at all. Or the whole document.
Man.
Although the mindset of the people may be swaying a certain way, but if I don't tell the gays that they're being gay is wrong, that don't give it leeway to me, because the Bible still condemns it. You know, but as far as the message is concerned, yes, we love everyone. But my love for you does not mean change my message and stop telling you when wrong is wrong. It's still wrong, whether people like it or not. I can't, you know, like the prophets of old. Jonah went down to Nineveh when he finally did go, and he preached as God told him to. But he was so racist that he wanted to condemn those Ninevites.
Amen.
And when they repented,
amen.
God didn't kill them, then Jonah got mad. It's like, I did all the preaching for nothing. I came down here to condemn these folks, and now God forgave him. So he got mad. He got mad about it. He got personal with it. See, you can't afford to get personal. All you can do is preach the message to the best of your ability.
Amen.
And you whatever help you can to aid you in that preaching of the message. But you can't change the message. You may change your method, but you can't change your message.
Yeah.
I'm going to call this 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Punk, and we got about 2 minutes.
And another point that we have that's very powerful. So you said, well, you know, preach the word. Paul mentioned that in Romans chapter 4. Preach the word. And when we look at what the apostles did, they preached the word. Preachers in the Church of Christ, do you not know that if you're living right and doing right, when you preach the word, the Holy Ghost is behind it. And it pricks the heart of people that want to be saved. We don't have enough meetings like we used to have or anything else. I remember some years back, I went over to Beaumont to preach a meeting. And I baptized over 200 and some people that are doing that meeting. And that meeting supposed to last a week, but it lasts 2 weeks and then months at a time after that. We got to know that the power to skin the word of God and live right. God's going to draw members to that congregation.
Amen.
And provoke members to people everywhere. That's the power. You got to understand, we got the Holy Spirit with us. And we need to let that Holy Spirit get loose when we preach. Okay? Brother Robin, you said that 2 minutes or something,
yes,
huh?
I'm still
am I, am I,
Okay. We're out of time. I want to thank our Brother Louis Parker IV, the man. Fine job you're doing. Oh, I like
Amen.
That. I like that. He bring these things up so we can all be more conscious, especially our audience, about what we're saying. I appreciate
Amen.
Brother Louis Parker IV. Fine job.
Yeah.
All our panel guests. I appreciate all of these men take time out of their own schedules to do this. Nobody
Amen.
Getting paid for this. I want the audience to know this. Nobody getting paid for this. These men are
Amen.
Taking time out of their own schedule to do this for free.
Amen.
For free, that all men may get a proper understanding. We're out of time.
Amen.
Tune in next Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 for open forum. And please call us with your Bible answers, questions, and we'll give you the Bible answer. We're out of time. Thank you very much. May God bless you. May God keep you.
Amen.